Good morning. Praise the Lord. I'm blessed to be here this morning. And this morning I want to talk about what some people call the most pressing issue of the age. They would even call it the defining issue of our age. And the question for us as Christians is, will man destroy the earth? In the beginning, as we know, the Bible says, and it is true, that God created the heavens and the earth. Why did God create the heavens and the earth? Well, if we turn to Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. The heavens and the earth were created to glorify God. And then he created man and woman. And why? Well, we see the answer to that in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6, we see that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, why? That we should be holy and blameless before him. And he predestined us for adoption according to the purpose of his will, for the praise of his glorious grace. We were created for God's glory, to praise God. And in fact, just after that, God tells us what his plan is for the whole entire earth. He says, in verse 7, it says, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. What's that mystery? According to that purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. To unite all things under Christ, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But for our life, I want us to wrestle with Scripture. I want us to see what's happening in the world and interpret that through the Scriptures. And after reading these Scriptures, what we see some aspects of God that are principles that should guide us as Christians. Okay? Number one, God created everything for his glory. We need to always remember this. When we hear things in the world, we need to remember that God created everything for his glory. Number two, that God has a plan and purpose for everything. God has a plan and purpose for everything, and he will. He works all things in creation according to his plan. Okay? So those three things. Number three. Number one, he created everything. Number two, he has a purpose for everything. And number three, he works all things together according to his plan. When God says everything, he means everything. Not almost everything except that one thing. No, every single thing. He is moving about to and fro all the earth to fulfill his word. God is in charge. The world is his. He created it to work his way for his purposes. It's like, say a carpenter builds a house, right? The carpenter, whoever builds that house, they build it exactly how they want it. They put the stairs over here. They put the bedroom over here. They might add a place, an indoor hot tub, or they might add an outdoor hot tub. Whatever, they have a trap door for a cellar, and they might have a way for an attic. Just as the carpenter builds the house the way he wants it, God has created the world to work the way he wants it. He's in charge. He will make sure everything works according to his plan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for that your word not only gives us life, but it is sufficient for all of our life and faith. Father, we please speak to us through your word. I stand here today not in excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, but I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I'm here in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching will not be with persuasive words of human wisdom, but I pray that they'll be in the demonstration of spirit and of power. Why? So that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of man, but it might rest in the power of God. Anoint us this morning. Rise up in us, Father. Reveal to us your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. We're only going to read a few verses this morning in this passage. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Did we get the scriptures on the... Yeah, okay, good. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. We'll be reading from the ESV. And it starts in verse 20. It says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease.'" I want us to remember that last verse. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. This is God's promise to all of mankind. This is God's promise to us. But what's happening here? Well, God has made a covenant with Noah in these verses. And all the living creatures, not just with Noah and his family, with all the living creatures and the earth which he saved. So the story goes that God saw that man was evil, and the intention of his heart was continually evil. So God purposed to destroy man. So in 6, 17, and 18, he sent a flood. He said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. But I want you, I want you to build an ark. I establish my covenant with you and your family. This right here, where it says, I establish my covenant with you and your family. This is just an aside. This is what God thinks of the family. This is how important God thinks the family is. It reinforces how important marriage is to God. God created marriage to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. That's what marriage shows. And he saved Noah's family to reflect that relationship between Christ and the church, because that relationship glorifies God. And that's what God wants to do, remember? He wants, God created everything for his glory. So, and our marriage relationships glorify him. Noah built the ark. God flooded the earth. And only those in the ark were saved. Then God made a covenant. That's where we end up here in Genesis 8. God made a covenant. And he says, I will never curse the ground again. And while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will not cease. And he made that as an everlasting covenant. When God says everlasting covenant, he means everlasting covenant for all generations, forever, until his purpose is accomplished. Because remember, God works all things according to his purposes, right? And so he even gave us a sign, which is the sign of the covenant with Noah is what? Who knows it? That's right, a rainbow. That's right. Well, why is this important? Why is this important? How does this apply to me? As I said, this speaks to what some call the defining issue of our age. And so, which is, will man destroy the earth? And you're going to see what there's other names for that. If you have your Bibles, also, I want us to turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Says, this is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact. The scoffers do. They deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water, by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water. It was covered with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. This is the last days. This is the last days. The scoffers are here. And as it is in the time of Noah and today, the intent of the heart of man is continually evil. What it does is it inclines towards self. We want our way. That's what we want, our way. We don't want God's way. That's why Jesus came. That's exactly why Jesus came. And that's why we need Jesus. Because we'll look at it. Yeah, we want our way. And that's why we need Jesus. But God has a plan. Do you think that man is going to, that man is going to destroy God's plan? Do you think that man is going to thwart God's plan? No. Man cannot thwart God's plan. Job 42:2 says, "I know, God, that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be withheld." Your purpose will prevail. That's what Job is saying. But what is God's plan? We just read it, actually. We read what God's plan was. It's in 2 Peter 3:7. It says, "But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." There will be a judgment. We will be judged as Christians. The whole world, even as non-Christians, will be judged, but we will also be judged. Every single person will be judged. We will be judged by what we do and say. They will be judged by what they do and say. The difference is we trust Jesus. So when you trust Jesus and you believe in him and have faith in him, your sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus did, and God sees you as spotless. So the word preserves the earth, and it is reserved for his judgment. It says, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar." This is in the Bible. This is in our Bibles. God is telling us exactly what's going to happen. It's pretty clear. We just have to read it. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people are you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for an hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt away as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells." When I read this, it doesn't sound like we can destroy the earth much more than God's going to destroy the earth. He said the whole earth's going to be set on fire and dissolved. Can we do much more than that? I don't think so. But according to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth. See, there are many plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plan that will stand. Is God going to let anyone thwart his plan? and steal his glory? No, it cannot be. It cannot be. 2 Peter chapter 2 said, but false prophets also, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says this, it says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction does not sleep. There are many false teachings in this world. False teachings and false teachers. People want to speak about their way. Everyone thinks their way is right. Many times, I think my way is right. But you know what? I'm wrong sometimes. And I mean, who hasn't experienced that? Who has not experienced that? I mean, we think we're right, but you know what? We're not. And I want us as the body of Christ to be able to see the world through the Bible, having a biblical worldview. Through the lens of the Bible, I want us to see the world and interpret what happens in the world through what we know is true in the Bible. Remember, number one, God created everything for his glory. Number two, God has a purpose for everything. And number three, he works all things in creation according to his plan. What's going to happen? Right now, we're in the place where God is sustaining the world and preparing it for his judgment. And when judgment comes, the earth will be burned up and melt like fire. Then there will be the new heavens and the new earth. So that's what the Bible, our guide for life, this is what the truth said. This is what God said to us. This is what God is saying to us today. And I pray that this is what is guiding us. I pray that that when we think of what's going to happen in the world, the first place we might, well, what does God say? What does God say about this? That's because, why? Because there are some serious headlines all over the news. Even starting in basically around 1970, and maybe even before that, but this is where Earth Day prediction said, in 1970, they said the end of civilization is going to be in 15 to 30 years. There's going to be 100 to 200 million deaths from starvation yearly for every 10 years. They even said a new ice age was going to be coming by the year 2000. All those predictions failed. Climate change advocates, they say that CO2, an excess of CO2, is responsible for what's happening in our climate today. But here's an interesting thing. There's a man named Patrick Moore. He's the founder of Greenpeace. Have you ever heard of Greenpeace? It's an environmentalist watchdog group. He says that the optimal levels of CO2 are four times what we have now. We need four times more CO2 than what we have now in order for our planet to prosper, in order for the trees and the plants to grow correctly. Yet many people are saying, we have too much CO2. We need CO2 to go down. Who are we going to listen to? Patrick Moore says, we need four times more. Many other people are saying, we have way too much. Interesting, right? Climate change advocates also said the sea levels are rising. They say some places are going to be underwater by who knows how long, 100 years. They probably said it way back when, and they're saying it even now. They said there's increased tornadoes. Other people say tornadoes have been declining for decades. They say the Arctic is melting. When in fact, other people say, some people are saying, no, it's getting thicker. They say there's, they even said there's going to be an ice age in Europe, which is obviously untrue. They say the polar bears are going to be extinct. But some other people are saying, no, they're increasing. They're thriving. So many protests are happening all over the world. In fact, people are following this one young woman named Greta Thunberg. Have you heard of her? She's a Swedish girl leading many protests all over the world for climate change. And she's only 16. And millions of people are following her. Are we going to follow Greta Thunberg? There's also so many people are doing crazy things all over the world because of this climate change issue. The Guardian newspaper, they say this, listen to this. The Guardian newspaper, which is a main newspaper in the United Kingdom, says this. It says, the climate emergency is the defining issue of our times. We will give global heating, wildlife extinction, and pollution the urgent attention they demand. But then listen to this carefully. We will be driven by scientific facts, not political or commercial interests. Sounds good on the surface. But as Christians, what are we driven by? Are we driven by scientific facts? No, we're driven by the Word of God. Because the Word of God is true. And scientific facts will back what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God is true. So, basically, what's going on? Who are we going to listen to? The scientists? As we see, their opinions vary. Some are on this side. Oh, the sea levels are rising. No, that's only being used to create fear. Sea levels have risen and gone up and down for decades. The temperatures have gone up and down as far as we know. But many scientists are unbelievers. They forget that God created. Not only do they forget, they reject that God created the heavens and the earth. They reject that the Word of God sustains the earth even now. Are we going to listen to people who reject the Word of God? Are we going to listen to our government? What about our teachers? When we look at our teachers, what's their worldview? What's their authority? That's really what it comes down to. What's your authority? Well, my authority is science, and science determines my truth. Well, my authority is reason, and man can reason things out. He can see all the options, and he can choose the right one. Our authority is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the truth. The media, the TV, and the internet, they're all talking about these things. Who are we going to believe in? So we need to trust the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2 says this. 2 Peter, we already read this, but I want this to stick in our minds. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2 says that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. That's what we need to remember. That's what we need to look to. Because he says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, cold and heat, summer and winter, springtime and harvest, day and night will remain. Number one, God created everything for his glory. Number two, God has a plan and purpose for everything. And number three, he works all things in the world according to his plans and his purposes. So how are we supposed to act as Christians? Are we just supposed to ignore the issue? I don't think so. We're not supposed to ignore the issue. Because we, in Genesis 1:28, we are called to be good stewards of the earth. I mean, we are supposed to be leading the charge for doing the right things in the earth, for recycling, conserving energy, for using renewable resources. We should be leading the earth in that. We should be the best environmentalists this world has. Christians should be the best because God tells us directly that we are stewards, like we are to rule over this earth in a way that glorifies him. So we trust God and we fear him. Listen to this, how this scripture speaks to in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, 22 through 25. God says this, "Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? I placed the sand as the boundary for the sea, a perpetual barrier that it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and gone astray. They do not say in their hearts, 'Let us fear the Lord our God, who gives the rain in its season, the autumn rain and the spring rain, and keeps for us the weeks appointed for the harvest.' Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have kept good from you. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell." Matthew 10. My goal is to encourage us to fear God, to trust him, and to see the world through this, through the lens of Scripture. And to get our truth from here, from the Bible, not from scientists, government, news, or other unbelievers. Those should not rule our beliefs. The Bible should rule our beliefs. Plus, you're going to be a lot more settled if you stand on the Bible anyway, because God is stable. God doesn't move here and there. God's the same. What? Yesterday, today, and forever. You're going to be a lot more at peace if you trust this. If we start listening to all these things and we say, "Oh, no, this is right. No, this. We're going to be all over the board and we're going to be just not peaceful. Peace. Yeah. So I want to say four things in order to have a biblical worldview. Number one, first thing, if that scripture was up there, we need to have the scriptures. Number one, have the scriptures foremost on our mind. As God said through the Apostle Peter, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Obviously, the scriptures should be the first things on our mind. When we read the scripture first thing in the morning, and when it's the first thing that comes out of our mouth and the last thing before we go to bed, which is what God wants for us, then we're moving in the right direction. Number two, we must interpret the world and news and other life events through the scriptures. We can ask questions like, what does God think of this? What does God say about this situation? Or what would God do in this situation? So keep the scriptures first. See the world through the Bible by asking a couple simple questions. What does God think of this? What would God do? Number three, we must look at who is saying what we believe. If we see some news or some headlines, what do they believe? Who's writing this? What do they believe? Who's reporting this? Who is their authority? In that statement from The Guardian, they tell you exactly. They say, we will be driven by scientific facts. They're telling you right there, The Guardian, science is The Guardian's authority. Their authority is science. Our authority is God and the Word of God. So we can hear what they say, but we need to analyze that through the scriptures so we see it rightly. And so, number four, that's the last thing. How does that fit in with the Bible? We hear what they say and we say, how does that fit in with the Bible? Should I believe it? And following a few simple steps, we can begin to create a biblical worldview. We can begin to see the world through the scriptures. And yeah. So this climate change, here's a little one source we can go to for this issue, which is Christian. It's an organization called Answers in Genesis. And actually, Ken Ham is a man, he's like president of that organization. And they write articles about all these things and interpreting this news through the scriptures. Also, as an aside, we're trying to plan a trip to the Creation Museum and the Ark, which is run by that group, Answers in Genesis. That's all I have to say today. It should be a fun time. And let's see the world through the lens of Scripture, and let's keep the Bible as our authority. And if we're going to hear from other sources, let's compare it to the Bible and with other people who believe like we believe. Thank you. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the peace that comes from you when we trust your word. The peace that comes from you when we stand on you, believe you, and fear you. Because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you have already told us what has happened and what's going to happen. Father, continue to guide us as your sons and daughters. Continue to lead us according to your word. And may we not be swayed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but may we stand on your word. In Jesus' name, amen.